Guys, welcome back to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. We are kicking off episode 6, and it was formally, informally, the first weekend of ACC softball for some teams, not for some teams, and some teams still have yet to play an ACC series. So a lot of interesting stuff going on right now. The rankings came out this week. We have several teams in the top 40 of RPI. We've got 5 teams sitting in the top 25 of the ESPN USA softball rankings. You got Florida State at number 8, Duke number 9, Virginia Tech at 17, Stanford 18, and Virginia coming in at 25. Lots of good softball all across the board. And Britt, do you want to dive in a little bit first to the ACC Weekly Awards?
Yeah, they just came out right before we hopped on here. Sophia Voiles from Georgia Tech had a nice weekend against NC State. She went 2-0, 0.78 ERA, 11 Ks, and 9 innings pitched. She's really become the dominant pitcher for Georgia Tech, a team that uses a pitching staff. Even if you use a staff, I really think you still have to have a number one, somebody that you can go to when you have a one-run lead or something like that. And she's really emerged as that pitcher for Georgia Tech. And then for Player of the Week was Maddie Moore for Clemson. They took on Duke this week. They had 3 midweeks, too. So in 6 games, she hit 563, 9 hits, 6 RBIs, 3 walks, and a home run against Duke to add to that. I was talking to you before this, I hate co-players of the week and co-pitchers of the week. I'm like, just pick one. But here I am now saying that somebody probably didn't get their flowers that I want. That was Kat Rodriguez over at UNC. She had a hell of a weekend against Pitt, her former team, which probably added a little bit of extra, a little spice for her. She had, just to give her some flowers, she was 636 on the weekend, 1 double, 7 RBIs and 6 runs scored. She's hitting .833 with runners on base this week, so a hell of a weekend for her. But Maddie Moore has been instrumental for her team in this Clemson success. So congratulations, ladies.
Really good stuff. And then the hitters are hitting, so love to see it. But let's talk a little bit about hitting. And we had our first series that we're going to highlight was Duke and Clemson. I mean, crazy stuff all across the board. Clemson came out in game 1, and I mean, just we're swinging it. I don't know how else to say it. Cassidy Curd got the start in the circle for Duke, but Clemson hitters wasted no time. They run ruled Duke 12-4 in 5 innings. So again, the hitters were hitting. There were several errors that the Duke defense couldn't take care of the ball. And I think that's, you know, a large contributor too, to getting extra batters to the plate, obviously kind of wasting outs and things like that. And you can't do that against a good team like Clemson because they will take advantage. And then go to game 2 the next day, Cassidy Curd gets the ball again. Interesting. I'm going to ask your thoughts on that as well, but then responds and she does really well. She throws 5 innings and then Danny Drugmuller comes in to get the save. And then you get Duke coming out with the win there. So then they split. And then of course, game 3 is going to be the deciding factor on who's winning the series. But Britt, those games on Friday and Saturday were absolutely crazy. And I know you and I were like texting back and forth of like, oh my God, are you watching this? And what's going on? And just all the things. So what are your thoughts just before heading into that Sunday matchup?
You know, back up to game 1, just this is a reminder that Duke is coming off of that series against South Carolina where they got swept in 3 games and it wasn't pretty. And Cassidy Curd did not have a good outing. And then coming out game 1 against Clemson and not having a good outing, my concern level for Duke went way up. Like, if they don't have Cassidy Curd, if something's going on with her, they're picking her pitches, but she just can't find control right now. So many wild pitches, just not missing close when she misses. And then when she misses, she's missing over the plate too. So, you know, she's going through some growing pains right now. But I was really concerned after game 1, especially after what happened against South Carolina. So for her to get the ball in game 2 was like, all right, you know, I appreciate a coach that shows the confidence in her player, because that's only going to give Cassidy Curd that confidence. Hey, my coach still believes in me. I still know what I've done in the past, and 2 weeks of my career isn't going to define what the rest of the year is going to look like. So I'm glad she came out and had a good performance against Clemson for Duke's sake. They were on a 4-game skid and it wasn't really close ball games either. Like, it just wasn't the Duke team that we were expecting to see these past weeks or accustomed to see.
Yeah, and then I think some unsuspecting bats as well coming through big for Duke was Amaya Burgess and Jada Baker. And I say unsuspecting because, of course, you have Amina Vega and several others in that top part of the order that are so good, right? Dionna Jennings and just swinging it, getting on base, finding ways. But then I like the bottom of the order production with Baker getting on base, swinging a really good bat right now, too. But then, okay, let's set the scene. You already mentioned game one. You have Alex Leep behind the dish as an umpire. And what did Alex Leep do a couple weeks ago in Clearwater? Who did he toss?
He loves to toss Rittman.
Yeah. He loves it. I don't know. Like oil and water. I
Yeah, I
don't
feel like he needs to be pulled off the Clemson games.
know.
He didn't toss Rittman this game, though, but
Right.
he was there. He was there.
Like I was like, I have to set the scene a little bit on this because, like, come on, what are the odds? Because I know that you were just a fan of the discussion that we had. I wouldn't say a fan of any side or anything like that, but just the discussion around Leap and what happened back a couple weeks ago in Clearwater, and then again, coincidentally, Leap is on the umpiring staff this weekend, and of course, Rittman gets tossed again. But I like it. Rittman's passionate and he's fiery, and I don't know. Maybe we can start a running tab on like what ACC softball coaches get thrown out the most because he
Yeah.
might be a leader. I don't know.
There's got to be a stat out there.
Yeah, but then what about the Julia Knoeller pimp job on the home run?
What about it, Alex? I'll let you go first. I'll let you go first.
Hey, I'm a fan of the bat flip. I mean, if you've got the swag, if you can walk it and talk it and whatever, like do your thing, show your stuff.
Was that a bat flip?
Well, it was like a toss, a throw, a bat throw.
1 foot from first base.
Yeah. I mean, it's
What
a
gets me?
little tricky.
If you're gonna bat flip, do it at the plate. Like, yeah, make it a reaction. Don't carry your bat all the way down to first base and throw it 50 feet in the air. I know Duke's coaching staff didn't appreciate it,
Yeah.
and I also don't know it's really legal to do
Well,
that.
and you're losing still. So, like, your home run didn't get him on top or whatever. So, I'm like, probably not the time and the place. Kind of have
Yeah.
like a little bit of feel with it. But hey, I mean, again, yeah.
But I will say that Clemson trying to find this identity, I think they're finding it in this like gritty, cocky, arrogant, just fiery bunch. Like we saw it from Mackenzie Clark last year, but now it's like the collective Rittman getting tossed, the extravagant bat tosses. I mean, just they're just like a fiery bunch this year. It's a new identity.
I like it. And I think that's great, though, because the response, of course, after graduating the senior class that they did was like, who is this team going to be? What are they going to do? Right. And how are they going to come out on the field and perform? And I think they're responding great. And I think that started a little shaky early in the season, but I think they were just going through the hurdles. And as is everybody else, right? Like, nothing is perfect the first couple weeks, but finding that identity is huge. But then coming back to game three Sunday, so that was the rubber match again. The series was split at that point, and this was a much better game across the board. This was, I think, the game that we expected to see early in the series. And Duke did end up winning game three, so they won the series. It was a 2-1 game, though, and that's again the back and forth battle. And it was tied 1-1 throughout the game. I think both teams scored that run in the fourth inning. Again, coincidentally, love how that happens. And then Duke going over on the one run in the seventh, in the top of the seventh. And so Clemson couldn't respond, but Duke walking away with the win and the series was really big, I think, for them too. Again, coming off a tough weekend last week and just figuring it out. And that's the name of the game right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about game three is that Danny Drugmuller went the complete game for Duke. And we talked about it earlier in the year. It can't just be Cassidy Curd for Duke. They've got to have some depth. Who's it going to be? And I think Danny has really stepped up in a major role. She transferred in last year from Pitt. But hats off to her. That's an explosive Clemson team playing at McWhorter. It's an environment that's not friendly to visiting teams. And she went out there and handled business because I think part of the Cassidy Curd struggle too is if you're a team coming to play Duke and you're only all week you're preparing for Cassidy Curd, right? That you're watching the film, you're setting your machine to her spin rate, her speed, you're seeing Cassidy Curd all week. But now if teams are going to have to start preparing for Drugmuller and Cassidy Curd, maybe that takes some of the pressure off of Cass in the circle when we see some turnaround there.
Yeah, and one last thing too about Curd is obviously you and I both call games and we see a lot of like scouting reports, right? Of, oh, this is a power pitcher. And like Cassidy Curd is a legit power pitcher. Like she's mid game, she's still pumping 70, at least on the radar, right? And so knowing that she might be coming in early in the game, like kind of even above that, like maybe 71, maybe give or take 72. And then staying there, though, pretty consistently in the upper 60s and still touching 70. So trying to just control it and contain the power is, I think, like the key for her, because she's got a lot of it. And that's probably a little bit too with the wild pitches. And hey, you could say it a little bit better than I could, obviously, having been a catcher, obviously living with one of the best pitchers to ever play the game. Like, you know that stuff a little bit better. But that's just my assessment on like having that much velo in your stuff. So
yeah, I think that that's a great point. You can get to a point where you're just trying to overpower pitches,
right,
and overpower hitters, and you lose your spin and your ball's not breaking. And so just getting back to fundamentals and trusting your stuff. But some big notes for Clemson: Julia Knoehler, man, she's having a great year. 9 home runs, 34 RBIs. We already talked about Maddie Moore in her week and ACC Player of the Year. But one last person I want to touch on with Clemson is Abby Vieira. Last year, really struggled at the plate, hit 230 with 31 hits. But this year, she's hitting 347, 25 hits, and just 26 games played. And I think that was a big piece for them in their lineup. When Abby and JoJo Hyatt last year, we kind of switch off in the lineup trying to find somebody to get some production, and they're getting a production from her this year. So I think that's good for her and really going to be helpful for Clemson.
Yeah, good stuff. And then Duke plays Tennessee tonight at Tennessee.
Ah, we got to watch.
I know.
And well, we also have to watch your game.
Thank you. Yeah. Alex
calling baseball tonight.
Yeah.
Florida State.
You can see I'm in Tallahassee over here in the control room. So who knows what's going to happen while I'm in here. I apologize in advance for weird sounds or anything. But yeah, here we go. And then Clemson doesn't have any midweeks real quick, too. They do have UNC, though, at home this weekend. So cool. Let's talk NC State, Georgia Tech. You want to kick that off?
Yeah, Georgia Tech won the series. They won the first two games, but they were close. And Georgia Tech likes to play close games. They won 2-1 and 5-4. Big swing by Grayson Tucker to put two runs across the board in game one. And only 5 hits between the two teams, which, you know, both teams, you never really know what you're going to get in the circle. So good job by both pitching staffs. And Reese Hunter hit the game-winning walk-off in game two. Speaking of walk-offs, you noted that's a 5th walk-off this season for Georgia Tech. So I dug a little bit deeper. I'm like, they're not hitting a lot of home runs. Is the same person coming up in clutch situations? It's 5 walk-offs by 5 different players. Vukadinovic against Belmont, Edgman against Eastern Kentucky, Jaden Gailey against Western Kentucky, Grayson Tucker against Dayton, and then Reese Hunter this weekend against NC State. And they're all either base hits or doubles to score a walk-off. So
legit.
How about clutch up and down your lineup?
Yeah, I love it. You talk depth, you talk just the ability of anybody to get the job done and the importance of it. And hats off to the Yellow Jackets just doing it. I would say that if you're Coach Morales, you probably want to maybe not be in games that close so that she can just keep her sanity in check. But hey, to each their own. Maybe they're preparing for postseason now. I love it. So
hey, at the end of the day, a W is a W.
One just a win.
Don't more fireworks and gray hairs, but I'm sure they'll take a win any way they can get it. It's a scrappy team. Georgia Tech's always scrappy, and they showed it again this weekend. Michelle Tarpey for NC State, though, she's having a heck of a season, hitting 435, over 500 in a leadoff spot. Not a ton of RBIs because she's in that leadoff spot. I don't know if they'll try and putting up numbers like that, move her down a little bit to get her some opportunities with runners on. There's also the argument you want your best player getting as many at bats as possible, but heck of a season for her.
And then another shout out to NC State for Peyton Bordeaux, who hasn't played very much, had battled injuries for a couple of years, and it was, what was it, Britt? I think like 900 and something.
91 days prior to the season.
Almost 1,000 days
that she had stepped on a field
and played game like speed. And that's a whole different animal. Mm-hmm. And knowing the importance of that and the importance of the reps and the experience and exposure that comes with that is such a testament to what Bordeaux is doing on the field.
Yeah, she launched those 2 home runs on Saturday. But you've been through injuries, Alex. You've had a red shirt. I've had a couple shoulder surgeries, never had a red shirt. But I guess from my perspective, I just remember how mentally taxing it is being in the training room every day and, you know, mm-hmm. not feeling your best, not playing right. And then finally mm-hmm. it hits. And for Bordeaux to hit those 2 home runs against Georgia Tech, maybe that was her it's worth it moment. So yeah. Hats off to her.
Yeah, we've all been there. I think of just like whatever it is, whether it's injury, whether it's just slumps and struggle, and then you finally like feel like you're breaking out a little bit, and you're just like, oh, thank God! It's like finally it's happening. You know, all the hard work wasn't for nothing. But if you're ever going through something, to anybody that's listening, just know that we've all been there, and it just takes time. Just keep chipping away, and you'll get there eventually. Don't
It'll
always know
happen.
how long, but you'll get there. So, Syracuse and Stanford, talk about corner to corner in the country and travel. That's always interesting and seeing how that plays out. But you know, Britt, I don't know about you guys. You're very smart, so you probably have no issue ever. But I don't know, but my grades were always a little bit better during season because I had to be a little bit more disciplined. But while we were on the road, there's not as many temptations, you know.
Absolutely. My grades are always better during season. And people are like, that just doesn't make sense. But if you lived it, you know.
You know,
You're stuck in a hotel room, you're on a bus, you're on a plane. Well,
might as well do my homework.
guess I'll do my homework. And I mean, I wasn't on social media all that much back then. Thank goodness
Yeah,
there's not a
right.
lot of evidence, but not a lot of distractions. Get your work done, play ball. Yeah, that was
And
definitely good
hopefully,
for my grades.
definitely. But yeah, so the travel I don't think is really proving to be any kind of issue. And seeing these teams work through it and battle is good. But a couple of good games out in Stanford. Stanford did win the series. They clinched the first two games against the Orange. And interesting, though, that Syracuse only had one pitcher throw in each of the first two games. So again, we're seeing like just a really good balance, I think, right now of a lot of teams leaning on that staff type of approach and mentality. And then a lot of teams able to like ride a workhorse. And if somebody's getting the job done, like I love the trust that these pitching coaches are putting on these players to like let them get the complete games, win or lose. I think it's great experience. I think it's great discipline learning how to beat a team after a few at bats. And whether you win again or not, you're getting a lot of good information and you're learning. So it's I feel like the best way to get that exposure is to just do it and see what you got. So good
Yeah,
stuff.
I've been really impressed with Syracuse. They played Georgia Tight a couple weeks ago in one of the games against them. They've been pitching and hitting well. They got swept this weekend, but game one was a really interesting game. They lost 3-4, but they had an opportunity to win. And Stanford brought in Alyssa Houston in the seventh inning, and we saw her with some control issues when they were down in Tucson a little bit. And then she came in this game, and it was a hit by pitch first batter, then a walk, and that Syracuse put down a bunt for a hit, and then another walk to walk in a run to make it 3-4. Syracuse next batter flies out to left field. I'm thinking tag all the way. I mean, it's kind of in between, but I'm like, you're on the road, you're at Stanford, like, you got to send her. You got to send her. Doesn't send her. Next player flew out, ended the game. But they were right there, had a chance against the top 20 Stanford team to make a difference and to get that win, at least tie it. Then they went on game two. Stanford won 5-1. And then game three, Stanford's bats just came alive like they have been all season and kind of blew them out 9-0 in six.
And you talk about Alyssa Houston and the importance of Stanford having her in the circle, and just because they're going to need her as an arm. And so, kind of letting her work through again that adversity, that trial and tribulation to see how she's going to come out is so telling of the confidence in her, yes, but also like knowing the importance of depth. And to win now is one thing, but to win in late May, early June is a whole different animal. So, really, just like testing the waters, I think, is what we're seeing across the board.
Yeah, and after that performance in game one, she got the ball game two,
Yeah.
which I thought was great. And because they're going to need her, they're going to need her. And but Zoe Prostrico did great, the freshman pitcher for Stanford. She's someone to take note of, just a freshman, but she's coming in these tough situations when Kylie Chung's not in there. They can look to Zoe to come in and get the job done. So they do have some pitching depth in the circle with to go along with their big bats. They're still fifth in the nation as a team, hitting 380, but with Nyjah Kennedy out, that was the big question: who's going to step up? And I think we're seeing Zoe and Kylie, and just need to get Alyssa back on her game.
Yeah, good stuff. And then shout out to Syracuse because, again, win or loss is not relevant just with this. They are doing really well in the circle. The ERA as a team is 1.9, and they've only given up 52 runs, and only 39 of them are earned right now. So, again, you know, just it's the making mistakes at the critical times, I think, is where they need to tighten up a little bit. But not doing a bad job overall and then swinging it pretty well too, hitting over 300 as a team. So just trying to
But they've
capitalize.
got the pieces. They've got the
Yeah.
pieces.
Yeah. And so much of the game and knowing the people that are winning are really just doing it at the right times. Again, not everything's blowout, right? It's just those timely hits, those timely plays, and seeing where everything's going to fall. So Pittsburgh at your Tar Heels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carolina, they had a big weekend. Went out and got the sweep of Pitt after falling to Michigan earlier in the week. Had a nice celebration. It was alumni weekend, too. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go. That's all right. They celebrated Kristen Brown, home run leader there. Number 12 jersey was retired. Congratulations, Kristen. That's awesome. Appreciate Coach Smith doing things for alumni and getting everybody involved. Coach Papa was always great with that, so glad to see Coach Smith doing that as an alumni herself. But Kinnaray Dark in the circle, man, she's a complete game machine. She's 10-3 on the season. She threw complete game in game one, tied for seventh in the nation in wins. And then Britton Rogers, the transfer in last year from Georgia, came in and got a complete game win on Saturday. And this week, an eight and a third innings pitch, didn't give up an earned run. You said it, they have a nice 1-2 punch in the circle. Where they were kind of struggling last year was in the circle, not knowing who to go to, when to go to, and also dealt with some injuries. But I think that's a good 1-2 punch as they get into some steeper competition, and that their bats are just insane right now.
Super. And you obviously gave a shout out to Kat Rodriguez earlier, but just swinging it so well. I mean, the numbers she's putting out this past week alone are super impressive, and hoping that she can keep that momentum going the next couple of weeks, because she could be making a really good case for herself for some end of year honors.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. But UNC has Radford tonight, and then they go to Clemson, as we mentioned earlier about Clemson, this weekend. So I'm excited for that one. Again, just you've got a UNC team that's feeling really good and playing really good softball, but then a Clemson team that's really hot right now and just getting it done. Again, it doesn't necessarily matter how, and it's going to be fun to watch. So I'll definitely be tuning in there. And then Pittsburgh heads to Tallahassee too. Got to make note of that. We'll talk about the Noles here in a bit. But Virginia at Virginia Tech, a little in-state matchup. Love this one. Top 25 rivalry, kind of sticky because, again, there's just like that grit, anything that comes with that, you know, in-state level of closeness, things like that. It's a lot of fun. Virginia Tech got the first two games of the series. Virginia did lead the game early, but Virginia Tech just doing what they do. I kept chipping away, coming through with the timely hits, a couple of big swings too. Emma Lemley had a pretty good weekend. She went four innings, and then Sophie Kleiman came in and closed out the game. But I think, too, the thing right now is Lemley got the save in that game one. Lemley got the win in game one. Kleiman got the save. And knowing, too, that you have that, again, level of trust that you can go to kind of several arms, because there's a lot of good potential and talent in the circle for Virginia Tech. And, of course, Emma Mazzarone, who we'll talk about in a minute, is one of them. But I also think this is the Virginia Tech team that we've talked so much about. Like, they've got all the pieces to the puzzle. Can we put the puzzle together? And we just continue to see that they are doing that this year. And it's been a lot of fun. It's cool to see it finally working.
It feels like the past couple of years, they've just been so close. I remember that super regional out at UCLA. I mean, they've just been so close to just making it to Oklahoma City. And with the Lemley that's on and the support around her this year, I was a little nervous when Lindsey Grind transferred from Virginia Tech to Oregon, who's having an outstanding season right now, where their depth would be. But Emma Mazzarone and Kleiman, they're really doing good, and the bats are supporting them.
Yeah, a good little 1-2-3 punch with Mazzarone, Kleiman, and Lemley. Just, again, getting the job done. And then game three, Virginia responded. And this was the Virginia that I think we'd been waiting to see throughout the weekend. Because, again, they were so close sometimes. And then it was like, okay, like, you know, not so close. Like, that game one was interesting. And then game two, Virginia Tech walks away 6-1. And then game three, Virginia takes game three. Of course, Virginia Tech still winning the series, but Virginia taking that one 9-2. And this was that more complete team that we've seen from a really good Cavalier squad. Just more complete pitching, more timely hitting, and again, defense playing good and playing well behind your pitchers.
Yeah, there was an interesting moment in that game. Virginia Tech, it was in the middle of the game, still really close game. Virginia Tech had the bases loaded and two outs, and there's a lot of commotion going on. The umpires, Alex, brought out the scorebook. I don't know if you've seen that.
Like the rule book or the scorebook?
The rule book, yes. They had the rule book out, and all the umpires huddled around flipping pages and trying to read, and nobody, The announcers don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Like, why? I feel like that's the rule. You don't bring out the rule book, but they did try to get it right. And from my understanding, there was some sort of illegal substitution and Virginia Tech ended up getting a third out, and that bases loaded situation was gone based on an illegal substitution, which was crazy and a huge, I think, turning moment for both Virginia Tech and Virginia right there with that little mistake, because after that, Virginia went off and Macy Eaton and Sydney Hartgrove each had 3 RBIs in game 3. The team hit 4 home runs. I mean, they just went off. And I think that it lived up to the Commonwealth Clash nickname. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that is good. And I think to your point about the umpires bringing out the rule book, I don't know. Part of me is like, okay, I respect their humbleness, knowing like, hey, I'm not really certain of the rule. I want to make sure I get it right. But then part of me is like, okay, know all the rules, you know? So I'm a little.
And also good on Joe Harden to be like, hold up. Stop, stop right here. Smart. I know the rules. You go look it up.
Smart. I'm going to need to look a little bit more into that one, because I want to know like the exact situation and what happened. Who knows if we'll ever get the story, right? But good stuff. Virginia has JMU tonight, and then they host Boston College this weekend. Virginia Tech is at Kentucky tomorrow. And
that'll be a good one.
That will be a good one. And at Louisville this weekend. The battle of the ACC series continues here. The one who has not played an ACC series yet are my Seminoles. And Florida State was out west this past weekend. They were over in Oregon. I guess I should say over, out. Up and over.
Far away.
Land far, far away. They picked up a couple of wins against Oregon State, but then they lost a couple of games to the University of Oregon. And the thing that I noticed, and this is, again, just having been in the program and knowing some of what, like, I say values, but just like the goals and stuff are from the team. You know, Florida State does like assess each game that they play. And something that we would look at when I was an athlete there was, how many runs are we scoring a game? And if we're scoring that many runs, are we winning or losing? And the thing that I noticed was, you know, the couple of games they won against the Beavers, they're putting up 8 runs. So of course your offense is hitting, coming through in good situations, but then your pitchers are pitching well and they're keeping any other opposing run threat to a minimum. Of course, 8 runs is a lot. I think when I was an athlete there, it was like 4. If we could score 4 runs as an offense, like, we knew that our pitchers were sitting pretty. And more often than not, that was when we were getting the W's in that column. Now, don't know what those goals are anymore that I'm not there. Don't know, you know, new kids, new athletes, different goals for what they need. But that would be something to kind of just bring up, because, of course, it doesn't help when you don't score any runs. You're never going to game. But you have to tip your cap to how Oregon pitched against Florida State, who has had a really good offense this season. And Florida State wasn't able to push runs across the board against the Ducks. And again, that's really saying something, I think, because they've been really good, 1-9 and people off the bench too. So tip your cap to Oregon and what they're doing over there under Coach Lombardi.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought that FSU would have a better offensive outcome against Lindsey Grind because they were familiar with her from Virginia Tech and ACC transfer to Oregon, but she was great to shut out that offense. And in 2 games, you're doing something good. So I do think the takeaway for me is that we saw Ashton Danley throw 7 innings in 2 games and didn't give up a run. And to me, it was like, finally, okay, we know Florida State's going to pitch by committee. They're going to use all these arms and matchups and this and that, but they still need a go-to. Who is going to be that go-to? And I think Ashton Danley coming out 7 innings in 2 games, not giving up a run, is starting to give this pitching staff a little bit more form and answering some questions I had about them. I think they're an elite team now that the pitching is going to show that they're good enough to support the offense that's there. Like last year, I think you mentioned, how many runs do we need to score a game? I think last year they needed to score like 6 or 7 runs a game to be competitive. The other thing is the defense for Florida State was awesome. The pitching only struck out 9 Oregon players in the 2 games, but they only committed 1 error. So if you're only striking out 4.5 batters a game, the balls are getting put in play. Your defense is going to have to come up behind them. And Florida State's got the offense, didn't show up that game, but they've got the defense, and that pitching staff is starting to take shape.
Yep. And the Noles are still out west, out in Oregon, and they will play a doubleheader today versus Portland State. I'm actually, I texted Coacha, I'm like, hey, Coacha, you know, can I just crash at your house, depending on how the game goes tonight that I'm calling in Tallahassee? Still haven't heard back yet. So if you're listening to this, Coacha, if I go to your house, I will.
How do you not have a key already?
It's a code, and I know I can find the code in my phone. Remember,
but one thing. What was that?
I just wanted to ask before I just.
Oh yeah, that's fair.
Flash there, like look like that's water. Nice. You know,
that's nice of you.
I don't know if she has cameras. I can't remember. Like on her Ring camera, just sees me strolling in. Like, what the hell is AP?
She'll be coaching a game. You're good.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
The time difference.
Too funny. But yeah, so the Noles will be coming home this week, and then they host Pittsburgh this weekend at home. Our couple of last series are Notre Dame and Louisville and Cal and Boston College. So Notre Dame and Louisville, not the top teams in the ACC right now, but it was a really good series and fun to watch. Louisville won the series. Game one, they won 2-0. Game two, Notre Dame won 3-2. So again, hard-fought battle, rubber match on Sunday. Louisville came out on top in 14 innings.
It was an entertaining weekend between these two teams, to say the least. I mean, in game two where Notre Dame won, they fell behind 2-0 early, then scored one run in the fifth, sixth, and seventh to take the lead, the go-ahead run to win that game. But game three going 14 innings using a ton of arms. There was one interesting moment in that game. I don't know if you've seen it. There's some clips on social media, but just you can learn from other people's mistakes, right? With all the celebrating in our game now, you know, like looking in your dugout. Her name's escaping me right now. It's probably good I don't call her out, but just hit a game tying doubles on second base. Looking in her dugout and kind of walking backwards to second base and not stepping on the bag and gets tagged out on second base. So if you're going to celebrate, foot on the bag and celebrate.
Yeah. Make sure you're nice and safe.
But hey, great fight between those two teams. That was really fun softball to watch.
Keeping it fun, keeping it entertaining, and keeping it competitive for sure. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame has a tough game against Ohio State tonight, and then they head to Raleigh this weekend. And then Louisville plays Eastern Kentucky tomorrow, and then they host Virginia Tech. So, again, the Hokies going to Louisville will be a really fun one to watch. And then Notre Dame getting to play against NC State will be fun. So, yeah. Good stuff, good stuff. Britt, you want to lead us?
Yeah, the last series, BC, the biggest thing for me, well, I'll just say Cal swept the series, but I've been looking for Abby Dunning since she went out with that injury in Florida. She didn't make an appearance in game two, not the outing she wanted, but I'm happy that she's back. We know how good she is, and I'm sure it's going to take some time for her to get back into where she wants to be, but she was back. It was really interesting. Cal losing two of their top pitchers, one went to Georgia and the other graduated, how they were going to manage their staff, and they had DeNava and McDade pitch game two, DeNava and McDade pitch game one, Tepperson and Reimers pitch game two, and then Reimers and Orange pitch game three. So they had five different pitchers and two in different combinations in three games. So that's a lot to prepare for as an offense coming in against Cal. So Coach Spencer working on how to manage that staff, and hey, whatever you got to do. I like the matchups, matching pitchers up with each other that work off well against each other. So
yeah,
Cal with the sweep. Nice job.
Yeah. Good stuff. All around the board. And we'll see what's next in the next couple of days and this weekend, but Cal plays Sacramento State tomorrow, and then they host Georgia Tech this upcoming weekend. And then of course you've got Boston College goes to Virginia this weekend. So really good stuff. You have all teams playing, correct me if I'm wrong, all teams playing ACC series this weekend.
I believe
my memory is not mistaken. And so excited for what's to come and to see how these teams continue to measure up and who's going to come out on top, because I feel like right now it really could be anybody's game. You've got a lot of programs playing really good softball. And even just last weekend, again, the Clemson Duke series, like, just shows like it can be anybody's game. It can be anybody's series. You got to show up. You got to play hard.
And every game matters. Even if you're down 2-0 and that Sunday game, it matters. Virginia getting that win against Virginia Tech is going to come out big time come selection show in May. So every game matters.
Huge. Good stuff. Well, excited for the weekend ahead. And Britt, I know you'll be busy as ever, just prepping for your games and on the call and doing your thing, and I'll be doing the same. So we'll reconnect next week. But in the meantime, don't forget to like and subscribe. Send us messages or questions if you guys want to know anything or get any kind of insight and feedback on certain things, certain people, certain programs, and let us know if there's any information that you're looking for. So thanks for watching and have a good week.
Alex, have a good game tonight.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.